Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the Random Ship for this, our 41st voyage. I'm the captain on this weekly journey, Holt, and with me as always is my first mate and my brother, Alan.
Ciao.
So for those of you who are new here, what we do is we take 25 to 30 minutes every single week, and we wander the waters of the weird. Yes, the oceans of the obscure, the rivers of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship bag.
So I have stories this week, Alan.
Oh, multiple.
Multiple. I have a dad's story that you got to witness some of, and a beef of the week. So where would you like to start?
Let's start with the beef of the week.
Okay, so my beef of the week this week is with my Jeep. It has been lovely. My 2019 Jeep Cherokee is fantastic.
It's a beautiful car. I think you don't know what a beef is.
It's a beautiful car, but it really disrespected me this week. So I was sitting outside my office, actually, and I had to go drop something off quickly and head to the airport. So I parked right out front. And I ran in, and before I ran in, I went to lock my car door, and it wasn't locking. I'm like, that's weird. Maybe is the battery low? I don't know. I didn't know this fob had a battery, because my car, I don't have a key. It's the push button start,
because I'm
fancy.
Mr. Fancy Pants.
And it wasn't working, so I'm like, I have no idea. So I'm like, oh, whatever. I went in, opened the door, locked it, and shut the door, right? I went inside, dropped it off, came back out no more than 20 seconds later, go to unlock the door, and the fob isn't working. I'm like, why? Why is this not working? And for anyone who knows me, my wife and I only have one car. We share a car. So I couldn't even call my wife and say, hey, come get me. I'm going to be late for the airport. I can't get into our car. I physically was stranded there, right? I know. So I'm looking at the fob. I'm like, I don't know. And then I look, there's this little latch on the back of the fob that I've never noticed, but I click it and out pulls a key.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, I'm not the first idiot who has made this mistake. They have a secret compartment for a key that the dealer never told us it was there. No one told us it was there. So I'm like, okay, at least I'll be fine. I can now use the key and unlock the car, right?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, if you lock the car with any way other than locking it with the key, so I locked it manually, if you try to unlock it with the key, the security alarm goes off. So I'm standing outside my work, there's clients in the lobby waiting to see people, and my horn is just blaring at like whatever a giant number of decibels is. It's like, wah, 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 wah. And I'm like, I don't know. I had no idea what to do. This may surprise you. Not a car guy. So I started like petting my Jeep. I was like, calm down, calm down. And I was petting.
Sounds like you disrespected yourself more than
I was petting the hood of my Jeep and it stopped. And I was like, okay, good. So I went inside to the receptionist and I was like, she's like, is that your car? And I was like, yeah, I have no idea what happened. I just tried to unlock it with the key because my fob's not working. She's like, well, what you do is you do have to unlock it with your key, but basically your fob needs to be recalibrated. And how you recalibrate it is you rather than pushing the car to start with your finger, you use the fob to push it to start, and that recalibrates it and it should work. No one told me this!
What?
Yeah, no one told me this. I'm sure it's in the manual somewhere, but this you'd think would be something the dealer's like, hey, by the way, you don't have a key. Here's the secret key compartment. Also, here's how you recalibrate your fob. So then I go outside, open my door. The alarm starts going off like crazy again, but it's true. I just push my key fob against the push button start, and the car started up no problem, and it said key fob corrected or something like that. And I made it to the airport in plenty of time. But on the plus side, I looked like a real gearhead to my wife because I'm like, hey, babe, here's how to fix this problem if it ever comes up. And she's like, I would never have even thought of that. How did you know?
And you'll be like, the receptionist.
I should have just been like, it's a guy thing. It's natural. We know this.
Just instinct.
Raw masculinity is how you fix it. You just stare at it with testosterone and it fixes it.
But also you need to hit the fob into the thing.
Yes. So my dad's story this week, you got to see the tail end of it. But basically, I went to the party store to pick up some stuff for an event that I was hosting.
It's very kind of you. You're very generous.
I am. My son came with me, and they gave him a free helium balloon. He'd never had a helium balloon before, so he was like head over heels to the point where he drew a face on it. He was calling it balloony. One time I was setting up for something. I was working. And I was like, hey man, like, what's going on? And he called from upstairs. He goes, balloony and I are playing hide and seek. I'm counting and he's hiding. And I was like, all right, first of all, he won't hide. He'll just float there. Second.
Sounds like a disaster waiting to happen.
Second, I immediately called my wife and I'm like, maybe we should have given him a brother. Because he is very into this balloon. Like, a creepy amount. And then when I was on the call with you,
yep.
I specifically told him, hey, don't let balloony near the ceiling fan. It won't end well. And he decided to turn on the ceiling fan anyway, thought it was so funny the first time the fan hit Balloony, and then the second time, it popped Balloony. And you would think he had witnessed a murder.
he was crying, he was screaming, he was not having a good time.
He was not happy, and to make matters worse, the next day my wife took him, because the balloons are only like $2 or whatever. She said, okay, basically, if you're well-behaved, we'll take you to get a new balloony. So he got a new balloony.
Okay.
And then she allowed him to sleep with it.
Oh, what could go wrong?
He had been in bed like 3 minutes before all I heard was, pop! And he had tried to spoon with the balloon. Catchphrase, hashtag spoon with the balloon. He murdered it. He murdered balloony while in bed.
No. He murdered Balloony in the ceiling fan.
Oh, yeah.
He
Balloony 2.
Balloony 2 in bed.
Well, that's all that happened this week with us, Alan. So let's move into our first segment this week. Some really weird, really old commercials you've probably never heard of. First up this week, Alan, comes by way of Easy Pop Popcorn.
Well, hello, boy. Now, what do you say?
Let's make with the popcorn right away.
Too much trouble and bother, yes, indeed.
No, man, heat's all you need.
You need more than heat, boy, according to Hoyle. You need popcorn, salt, butter, and oil in a frying pan, or to be completely proper, you ought to have a popper.
I dig it. You ain't hip, old man. It's an Easy Pop popped in its own pan.
You mean Easy Pop popped in its own pan?
Now you're swinging, Daddy. Crazy man. Why don't you make it with me to the grocery shop? We'll both dig a pan of this Easy Pop. Now, give it the heat bed. That's the wildest. Easy Pop's too much, the neatest, the mildest. We'll all have a gallon in just about a minute. Popcorn, salt, and oil, and everything in it.
What do you know? No muss, no fuss. There's Easy Pop popcorn for all of us.
Easy Pop, man, that's real popcorn.
Real popcorn.
Is that a type of music that was popular in the 50s when this...
Is that a type of music?
At first I was like, this seems too early for rap. So it's... But it kind of sounds like rap, but it's kind of like jazzy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You ever see like those old cartoons or whatever when people are dancing to music, but all they're doing is like spinning in circles, like spinning their finger in the air?
Yeah.
Like... That's kind of what I think they must be dancing to, is that?
I'm doing it. It's fun. But I will say, it does a good job of, like, I know exactly what it is. Oh, it's popcorn that pops in its own thing, and it's pretty simple. I mean, I guess the concept itself is pretty simple, so it's not like they were trying to explain something crazy. But I always can never believe how long these commercials are.
Yeah.
Like, they just go on and on and on and on and on.
You could probably cut it off around halfway, and the commercial would still be just as good.
Yeah, I find, like, back in the 50s and 60s, especially these older ones that we've been reviewing, they're very much like they're trying to tell like a whole story.
Yeah.
Like they're almost like ballads. If they were a song, they'd be a ballad. Like it's, and we noticed that especially, Alan, in our number two commercial this week from Sugar Smacks cereal.
Superman.
Chief, believe me, you're in for a treat just as soon as Jimmy gets back here.
Great Caesar's ghost. What's holding him up? You know I can't work without a good breakfast.
Chief, Jimmy's bringing a box of Kellogg's Sugar Smacks.
All the more reason for hurrying. Confound it, that boy knows I like those new Sugar Smacks.
And he knows I do, too. And that's a cinch.
Well, here I am. Young man, if you spill those new Sugar Smacks, you're fired.
Golly, Chief, I hadn't opened up the box yet. But I'm going to now.
Well, I guess we all agree on Sugar Smacks.
Right.
Folks, don't wait. Get Kellogg's new Sugar Smacks. They're better than ever. Puffs of wheat, sugar toasted, and candy sweet.
You bet. Just get Kellogg's Sugar Smacks, brand new.
Mmm, Sugar Smacks.
I don't know what those are.
Apparently they're, like, we have, what's the, can't get enough of that sugar crisp. That's what we have in Canada. Apparently this never really made it here, or maybe they discontinued it here, but it started that at that time period as Sugar Smacks. Then when sugar got a bad rap, they changed it to Honey Smacks. And then in the 90s, they changed it to just Smacks, which is weird because smack is like heroin.
Oh, nice. Subtle, guys.
Yeah. And then back in 2004, they changed it back to Honey Smacks. So it's the snack that has had four different names. Oh. Or three names, one of them twice.
I feel like there was a lot of dead air in that commercial. Like, they're just sitting there, like, eating the cereal.
It's also interesting because it seems like in the olden days, one of the major parts about being a police officer was you never ate breakfast before coming on shift. And your, like, employees were to bring you cereal. Like, this is the same premise as the Grape Nuts one.
True.
Where the guy's like, where is my cereal? Where is my incompetent employee ready to share cereal with me?
But this one had Superman.
Yeah, or he was a Superman. I don't understand what the beginning was. Also, I think you would have a human, like a workplace complaint if they fired you for dropping a box of cereal.
I like how he's like, if you spilt that cereal, you're fired. And he's like, oh, well, I haven't even opened the box yet, so.
It'd be weirder if he had opened the box. A brand new box, and he has it open, and he's walking with it.
He needed some snacks right now.
And next up, Alan, our final really old, really weird commercial you've probably never heard of, comes from a company we've all heard of, Scotty's Paper Towel. / tissues. / Kleenex, but you're not allowed to call them Kleenex.
There's no other box of facial tissues like this. Scotty's new Magic Oval Box. Only Scotty's give you tissues that float up gently, one at a time, and come out in neat handfuls, too, because there's a Magic Oval inside every new Scotty's box. Only Scotty's Magic Oval can give you tissues that float up, smooth and easy. No tugging, no tearing, no extra tissues tagging along. And Scotty's Magic Oval does even more. It lets you reach in for tissues by the handful, all neatly folded, just right for pocket or purse. Scotty's new Magic Oval box is pretty, too. And inside, soft, strong, sneeze-proof Scotty's. Remember, for tissues that float up smoothly and come out in neatly folded handfuls, look for Scotty's pretty new Magic Oval box, the only one of its kind.
Well, this is far less funny than I had initially thought. When I chose this ad, I picked it because I thought they were saying magical hole. I was like, man, they're talking about that hole a lot.
I mean, they did say magical oval like 8 times.
A lot. Like, they're really proud of the design.
They really like their oval.
I don't... How did you get your Kleenex before? Were they just, like, loose?
I don't know. I'm looking at the box of Kleenex I have, which happens to be Scotty's.
Does it have a magical oval?
If the magical oval's what I think it is, then yes.
Yes, it is. It's that part that you rip off at the top.
It's just the plastic part?
Well, the cardboard part that then the plastic is underneath, yeah. But who's trying to rip... Who sees that and goes, oh, one's not enough. I need a whole handful.
Oh, they fit really nicely into your jacket pockets. Somebody was not listening to the ad.
No, I get it. But wouldn't you just, like, take out one at a time? You wouldn't be like, well, I'm going to ruin this magic oval by getting my whole fist in there.
True. But you have to consider you're not also not going to carry around your box of Scotties when you go out to the cinema. I didn't say movie theater because it's old.
Yeah, it's old-timey. You should have said when you go see a talkie.
Is that what they called it?
A motion picture. Yeah, because there was the silent films, and then when they got noise, they were the talkies.
Oh, I'm really glad we don't have silent films anymore.
I'm going to wear my short pants and go see one of those moving pictures. This is just an excuse to try out old-timey terms.
Man, the number of old-timey terms in the Sugar Smacks one...
Oh, it was so many. Great Caesar's ghost! Isn't that what he says?
Like, that's exactly what he said.
He's like, "Gone, darn it! Have you...
Doggarn it!
If
what does that even mean?
If you spill my Sugar Smacks!" Anyway, Alan, that is all the really weird, really old commercials that we have for this week. Before we get to In the News, we do want to remind you, check us out on Instagram at RandomShipThePodcast, or shoot your emails to RandomShipThePodcast@gmail.com. Alan, let's get into it. Our first article this week, Alan, comes from our friends in England at themirror.co.uk. My rich ex won't fund my lavish lifestyle since we split up. This is abuse.
I respectfully disagree.
Yeah, not really much of a headline. Basically, that's just a quote from a Facebook post that this woman made that basically accuses her ex-boyfriend of abusing her because he got her used to a certain lifestyle and then stopped paying for it. So essentially, while they were dating, he bought her a car, he paid for trips, he rented a house for her, and then they broke up, and she texted him to wonder where the rent was. He didn't get back to her. And it's like, yeah, because you broke up.
Yeah, exactly. He has no reason to give you anything anymore.
It'd be weirder if he continued to pay for it. But she's like, it's just not fair. Everyone says I should sell my car and go back to the old neighborhood where I used to live. But she's like, I don't want to because all my new friends are rich friends and I want to hang out with my rich friends. But now I can't afford to hang out with my rich friends because my sugar daddy's gone.
Well, if your rich friends are the ones telling you to sell your car and move back to where you used to live, they might not like you that much.
I also like how she said she was wearing $30,000 weaves. That seems like a lot for like a... Isn't a weave like a sewn-in wig?
I thought so. That seems like a lot for anything.
Yeah. I also love how in her quote she says, he even sponsored holidays for me and the girls. Was there some sort of like... Was she raising money for something? Like, what? He sponsored. He paid for them.
He paid for
You're
them.
You're not a non-profit. If anything, apparently you're definitely a for-profit girlfriend.
She loves profit, but she's definitely 100% the most gold digger person I've heard of in a long time.
I don't know if I would use that term. Strictly because when I think gold digger, I think people who purposely go out of their way to find rich guys, whether they're attracted to them or not, and basically take advantage of them for their money. I think she's very... self-absorbed and entitled, because I think she genuinely loved him and he genuinely loved her, at least by how this is written. But the fact that she thinks she can still continue, it's not taking advantage of him when you're in a relationship with him and you guys are genuinely in love with each other, but it's taking advantage of him, or trying to, once you two have broken up.
I don't think she necessarily went into this with the intention of being a gold digger, but now her intention is 100% the gold digger reaction.
Oh, you're breaking out. You have a little rash there. No, that's just a gold digger reaction. You know what would make it go away? A new tennis bracelet from Tiffany's. Where's your pride, girl? Where's your pride? Pick yourself up. He dumped you. That sucks. Yes, it sucks that he invested so much in you. That does suck. And yes, it sucks that your fake friends, who apparently will just leave you, are fake friends. That sucks. But look at the positive. You got to experience 3 years of a lifestyle you never would have gotten to experience. So true. Just embrace it. I'm talking directly to you, unnamed lady in the article.
Who we know listens to our podcast.
We can only hope, Alan. Next up, our article comes from our friends at UPI, or...
Uppy.
Backseat cows spotted in Wisconsin McDonald's drive-thru lane. This is exactly what it is. If you look at the picture, it is a cow in the back of someone's, like, 1997 Oldsmobile car. Which is super weird. But essentially, this guy went to, like, a farm auction and didn't bring anything to transport what he won. So the calf that he won, he just shoved it in the back seat of his car.
And then, considered winning at an auction?
That's what I find so funny, because I've been noticing lately, it's even like trying to get into sports cards and stuff, and they do the same thing too. It's like, you won an auction. It's like, well, I just agreed to pay the highest price.
Yeah.
I just love the idea that this guy went to an auction.
Completely unprepared.
Yeah, either had no intention of buying something and just was like, that is a damn nice calf. I'm going to win it. And then
I need three.
And then, was there three?
Yeah.
Oh, I only saw the one photo that showed the one cow head. But I was like, he's just like, what? I won them all? Oh, no! Like, it reminds me of the time that I bid on stuff on eBay, and I bid on like 8 things wanting to win one, and I won them all. And I'm like, oh, no, now I have to... It's the same thing. Right. He's like, oh, now I have 3 calves.
You were ill-prepared. And you also did not have the right place to put those things.
I did not, but now... No, this guy is like, oh, I guess I gotta shove him in the back. And then, to make it worse, he goes and gets hamburgers. He's like, this is what you're gonna become.
He needed to stop to fill up. Where else would you stop?
That would literally be like you adopted 3 babies and then went, oh, also, watch me be a cannibal. Like that.
I don't know if that's the same thing at all, just because cannibalism is very different.
Well, but you're watching them. Fine, it's like adopting 3 chickens and then going to Popeyes.
Sure. Fair.
I say equally relevant, you argue otherwise.
I think people are a little different, is all I'm saying. Especially when it comes to eating them.
If you're sick enough to trap 3 calves in your Oldsmobile and then force them to watch you eat their grandmother, you would eat a human.
Well... Not going to touch that one.
And finally, Alan, USA Today brings us a hot dog shaves 36 minutes off your life. Study show.
Well, I guess you're going to die much earlier than that.
Yeah, they are my favorite food. I like how the study from University of Michigan?
Yep.
They looked at 5,800 different foods, and hot dogs were the least healthy.
I believe it. Well, probably depends on the kind of hot dog.
It is funny, though, that they're like, okay, well, if this takes 38 minutes off your life or whatever, Joey Chestnut, the guy who's won the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, how much of his life has he lost? And they figured it out. He's lost 1 year and 15 minutes. To me, that seems worth it. If I could be, like, the best at my profession, but I'd have to give up a year of my life to do said thing, worth it. Like, if we could have the best... If someone came to us and was like, hey, you can have the absolute best podcast, most downloaded podcast in the entire world, most popular, but magically will take a year of your life. I would do that. Would you do that?
Is it the last year?
Yeah, I'm sure that you don't just go into a coma.
Miss out a random year?
Yeah, it's like that monkey paw thing where it's like, oh, yeah. Sounds good. And then you do it and he's like, actually...
It's this year!
You got hit by a car and now you're in a coma for a year. It's like, oh no.
Yeah, if it's the last year, sure.
Yeah. So that's essentially what he did.
That's basically what he did.
He's won it not 7 times, 13 times.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
Yeah, his record is 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
That seems like too many hot dogs. If I was trying really hard, I could maybe eat I can be generous and say 3.
I bet you, I think I could eat 76 hot dogs in like a week.
I don't.
Even that I think would be pushing.
That would be like over 10 hot dogs a day?
I think I could have 10 a day, like 3. Oh, maybe not. Maybe 2 weeks. I could have 7 a day. 3 for lunch, 3 for dinner, and then one
before you go to bed.
Yeah. I love a good hot dog before bed.
Who doesn't?
Yum, 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 yum.
Is that the sound you make?
When I smell hot dogs? Yes. That's why people don't eat with me.
I understand. This explains why you so often just have to have mustard on your hot dog.
And we're just about to pull in the harbor here and end our 41st journey. But before we go, remember, check us out on Instagram at randomshipthepodcast or give us an email to randomshipthepodcast@gmail.com. Alan, what's this week's ship fact?
This week's ship fact is... In 2004, a study was published in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society by Lee A. Lindquist that stated that it is often as cost-effective to retire onto a cruise ship than a retirement home and a significantly higher quality of life.
I would 100% do that. I mean...
Yeah, right? That sounds way better.
Yeah, I mean, pre- and post-COVID. Not,
yeah, yeah.
But, not mid-COVID, because that seems to be like... has been the worst place. The worst stories seem to come out of it.
True, but as long as there aren't pandemics, it seems like a strict upgrade over living in an old folks' home.
Yeah, I mean, there's doctors on board. It's always a positive atmosphere, like typically.
You never have to make your own meals. Your beds are always made for you. There's tons of stuff to do.
There's entertainment. It's a cruise ship, so there's new old people all the time, especially if you're one of those pervy old men. That would definitely be the way to go, because there's always new old ladies coming on board.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
That's what I imagine Adam Sandler's character did in 50 First Dates. After. Because that's what he was doing in Hawaii, but then he retired and went to the cruise ship. He was a perv. Thank goodness Drew Barrymore straightened him out.
Yeah, thank goodness.
She really is a treasure.
Well, she's okay.
What?
She's no Emma Stone.
They're not even in the same class!
I know, that's what I'm saying. Emma Stone's way better.
Yeah, but in the same class, Anna Kendrick is better than Emma Stone.
Disagree.
But I wouldn't compare Anna Kendrick.
Have you seen Cruella?
Yeah, she's fantastic in Cruella.
It was amazing.
I love that movie. Yeah, it's super good. And that is our show for this week. Thank you all so much for joining us.
And have a great week, everybody. He murdered Balloonie in the ceiling fan. He murdered Balloonie 2 in bed.